Greetings, Christian friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with an update. We have been looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month for 1 year to support this program. We have had many people make that commitment, but we are still looking for others who want to partner with this ministry. If this program has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us? Remember, even if you cannot participate financially, prayer is always in order. Stay tuned, and our announcer will let you know how to contact us. God richly bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, How to Pray for Those Who Are Ill, from his series on prayer. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Pray for Those Who Are Ill.
That really makes and fits in, and that's why I went back and gave the context. Let's look at an interpretation that really fits in with the context of what James was talking about, all right? He says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. In your notes, if you will look at the phrase shall save the sick, this will help us to understand and be more meaningful to us. Now, I told you I was going to do some teaching this morning. You know, I'm not doing a lot of preaching. I'm doing more teaching because I want you to understand this. Shall save the sick. The word sick, and this, you got to get this. If you don't get this here again, you're going to miss what James is trying to say. The word sick, and I'm not trying to show off my Greek or, you know, impress anybody. I'm just trying to get the interpretation of the passage. Is the Greek word kamno. All right, now watch this. And it refers to a person who has become emotionally weak or spiritually discouraged as a result of suffering. And in this right here, now I know I'm going to get some folks mad at me. And I challenge you that if I'm saying something that is wrong, you can give me a call during the week, give me an email, and I'll send it to Brother George, and he can answer your question. No, I'm just kidding. You can email me or call me, and you know we'll discuss it further. Because I know this is not a discussion time, so some people may have some things on their heart that they say, Pastor, I'm not seeing what you're seeing, all right? But this word sick, you know, there's a word, another Greek word that refers to people who are physically sick, And if James was referring to someone who was physically sick, he would have used that word. Isn't it interesting that he chooses to use a word that means emotionally weak or spiritually discouraged? And as a matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, he talks about, you know, pray for those who are spiritually weak and who have become emotionally drained. And so when we look at this verse and we say that the prayer of faith shall save the sick, it means that this prayer, watch this now, this prayer is not necessarily directed towards touching the body of the person, even though it might. James is more concerned about the spirit of the person. Oh, can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, some of y'all got it. Some of y'all agree with me. James is more concerned, once again, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire and complete and lacking nothing. If anybody lacks wisdom, when they're going through suffering, let them ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and holds back nothing. And so we need to understand that James' heart and James' focus is with these Christians who have been beat down, who have been persecuted, who have been tortured, who have been fed to lions, who have been, according to one author, that Caesar would take Christians and he would dip them in tar and he would light them at night so that they could light his walkway. And so these individuals who have been persecuted, who have been tortured, who have been set on fire, James is saying that it's very easy to get a little discouraged. I mean, if we walked out this door this morning and there was folk out there waiting to persecute us and waiting to torture us, you know, I like to say, I'm trading my sorrow for pain, you know, sorrow for the joy. I'd like to say that. And hopefully I can go out there and say, I'm trading it for the joy of the Lord. But the chances are, if somebody was standing out there with machetes waiting to persecute us and chop our head off, I guarantee you that something will happen to your countenance. You still might have the joy of the Lord. You still might have the peace of God. But something's going to happen on the outside. Whoa, buddy, what's going on here? Some of y'all going to do the Michael Jackson. back into the church, right? All right? And so James realized that with all this persecution going on, that people are going to get discouraged. And so he writes, and he says, look, I know the times are difficult. I know that discouraging times are around us. If anybody has become emotionally weak, or if anybody has become spiritually drained as a result of all the opposition that's going on, then let them call for the elders and let them pray. And the prayer of the elders is going to do what? Is going to lift their countenance. Is going to lift their spirits. And I know one of the things that meant so much to me when I was going through my thing is that when people said that they were praying for me. You don't know, I didn't, when anybody said they were praying for me, I didn't take that lightly, because I knew that every prayer went up into the ears of God. And it was something special in my life, and it was something that was very meaningful to me. So I'm not sure about you, but as I look at James, when James says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick, I believe what James was trying to say was that it would encourage their heart. Man, how encouraging would it be if you are down and out and discouraged, and Pastor Glaze and a couple deacons and deaconesses came and gathered around you and began to pray? How much would your heart be encouraged as a result of that? And so James says that the prayer of faith shall encourage the weak, shall encourage the spiritually drained. And as we look at this passage, I think it's important that we understand that. And notice what he says. Now, this really seems out of character. If we're talking about physical healing here, this next part really seems out of character, because look what he says at the end of verse 15. He says, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, how in the world do you get that in there with praying for somebody about being sick? All right, well, let me break it down for you. See, one of two things could happen. Either sin could be the cause of sickness. And as we read the Bible, in certain situations, because people were in sin, they got sick. My. There go some scriptures for you to look at. Proverbs 23, John chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Specific situations where people that were in sin, they got sick as a result of their sin. All right? Or you can flip the script and say that sickness is the cause of sin. Sickness is the cause. What do you mean by that? Well, here again. Sometimes a sick person can sin, and I've seen this, by allowing their sickness to lead them to behave in a way that's not pleasing to God. You can become angry. You can lose your faith. You can get depressed. you can react negatively to others. As I've said from this pulpit on many occasions, I was a good patient in the hospital. But my wife didn't have the same experience. I wasn't a good patient at home.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, Anchored in Jesus radio family. I'm coming to you with a special announcement. I would like to invite you to join me on a trip of a lifetime. Anchored in Jesus Ministries is partnering with Dr. John Stanko of Purpose Quest to go to Israel in 2018. The dates are April 24th through May 4th. Your trip to Israel will make the Bible come alive in new and exciting ways as we visit many sites where the biblical events took place. For more information, visit the Anchored in Jesus website at www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
I remember one day, I was, you know, now once again, you got to keep in mind, you got these needles in your body, and there's fluid coming through these needles, and you got to sterilize everything. And you got to do this yourself. In the hospital, you know, these people in the hospital, some of y'all nurses, you do it all day long. So I got a lot of confidence in the hospital, right? In these nurses, because they're doing it all day long. But now I got to come home, and we got to begin to do it. And I'm just worrying about any misstep. There's going to be something going in my body that I don't want in there. And so I was telling my wife, I said, well, this is what the nurse said. She said, Bill, she didn't say that. I said, this is what she said. She said, you got to do it like this. And my wife said, Bill, she didn't say it. I said, well, you know what, Angie? You know what? Let me just, I'll just call the nurses and let them come do it. And she said, well, go ahead, call them then. So, you know, I wasn't a very good patient. I'm going to be honest, I wasn't a very good patient at home. So I can see very easily how sickness can cause you to do something. Me and my wife almost got divorced because I was sick. No, I'm just kidding. We're solid as a rock. Ashford and Simpson, you're solid as a rock. Each mistake, we forgave. Now both of us learned to trust. We got serious. They just wouldn't turn to dust. We built it up and filled it up, and now we're solid. We could take a little hit like that and keep on going. But I can see how that when you get sick that you can, I mean, very easily get into sin. Just have a bad attitude, be worried, lose faith. And so what does James say? James says that in the midst of being sick, that if you have sinned, that when the elders come and they pray for you and you ask God to forgive you, that God will forgive your sin. He will forgive your sin. See, and this makes sense to me. I was trying to make sense out of all the other stuff that I was hearing, but this makes the most sense to me as you take the context and as you take this passage right here. So if a sick person falls into one of these categories, that you have sinned and you became sick as a result of your sin, or the sickness has caused you to sin, the scripture says that if you will confess to the Lord, that the Lord will forgive you. And in verse 16, he says, as a matter of fact, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And here again, the word healed refers to an emotional or spiritual healing and not necessarily a physical healing. So I encourage you now, go look it up. But because I wanted to focus on this morning the physical aspect of it and teach us some things on how to pray for the sick or the ill, there's a sheet that I included, or actually I made a copy of it and put it on the back of your notes. And that is, how do you pray for those that are ill? How do you pray for those that are ill? And on Wednesdays when we have prayer, and because we get a lot of prayer requests for ill people on Wednesday, I got this sheet right there. This sheet is right there because I want to pray for the folk that are sick And I want to pray and release all the power of God in their life that I can. So let me go through these real quick. Number one, pray for the healing touch of God's hand upon the illness. Yeah, pray that God would heal them. There's nothing wrong with praying for people to be healed. That's a biblical prayer. Yo, God, I pray that you would touch their body. God, I pray that you would heal them. This is my desire, God, as I lifted up today. Number two, pray that God would get the glory out of the illness. So you got to pray for that person, and you got to say, look, this person is sick. Now, they can go through this sickness, and they can be bitter the whole time, or they can get better. They can go through this sickness, and they can be a poor testimony, or they can go through this sickness, and they can glorify God. And as I shared with you before, I know that there were days that I got an F. But I know there were other days, hopefully, you know, God gave me an A, because you know, I was trusting him, and I was praising him. But you know, sometimes things begin to wear on you, and you don't always do as well as you want to do, all right? So you got to pray for that person. You got to, if they're in a nursing home, if they're in a hospital, if they're at home, Lord, I'm praying for so-and-so today, and Lord, I just pray that, you know, as they are sick, it's hard enough, Lord, that they are sick. It's hard enough that they're going through what they're going through. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you would get the glory out of this situation. Lord, I pray that somehow that maybe somebody else that's going to be sick, that you might bring this person into their path and that they might somehow give a word of praise for God and it might touch that other person's life. And, Lord, that you would be glorified. Man, that's a powerful prayer to pray for somebody that's sick, that God would get the glory. Number three. Pray that the person who is ill would learn the lesson that God is trying to teach them. I'm a firm believer that you don't get ill for no reason at all. That when you get ill, that God can use that illness to try to teach you something. Now, once again, I'm not saying that God made you ill. All right, I'm not, because I don't want anybody to say, you know, Pastor Glaze said, well, God made people ill so that he could teach them a lesson. Well, that's true. He does sometimes, but not every time. Sometimes people just get sick. But whether God brought this illness in your life or God allowed this illness to come into your life or he didn't, the fact of the matter is that there's something that he can teach you through it. And it's a shame to go through times of illness and not learn anything about what God is trying to speak to your heart about. So we need to pray that God would open their eyes to any lesson that he's trying to teach them at this time. We need to pray that the person would be strengthened in the midst of their illness, that they would have emotional and spiritual strength, because sometimes that illness is not going to go anywhere. And the only thing that's going to get them through is to have strength. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He said in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me." He prayed and fasted, probably, on three separate occasions that God would deliver him from this thorn in the flesh. "And God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength," oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah, "my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake." Watch this now. "For when I am weak, then I'm strong." When did Paul say he was his strongest? Was in the midst of suffering. When did he experienced the most power from God in the midst of his illness, in the midst of his tribulation, this thorn in the flesh. He said that God left it there because God wanted to reveal his strength in me. And so when you pray for somebody that's sick, or pray for their physical healing, but don't forget to pray for their strength. Lord, give them the strength to be able to continue to stand during the midst of all that they're going through. Oh, that's a good prayer right there. That's the prayer I want. Lord, keep me strong spiritually, because Satan got this messenger to buffet me and to take my joy away. But Lord, I pray that you would keep me strong in the midst of what I'm going through. Number five, and this is what James is talking about here. Pray that the person would not become spiritually or emotionally weary as a result of their illness. Number six, don't forget to pray for their caregivers. Don't forget to pray for their caregivers. Here goes a good prayer for the caregiver, that you can pray for their caregiver. Lord, give the caregiver strength because they get tired. Lord, give them patience to care for their loved ones. Lord, give them a peace of mind as they struggle through each day. Lord, help them to have love when anger wants to take over their thoughts. Show them hope when they can see no hope. Let them have wisdom to know when they need to step forward and when they need to step back. Let others see Christ in them as they care for their loved ones. See, sometimes we forget about the caregivers. Yeah, I was telling people, I said that, you know, a lot of people came up to me and said, Pastor, you know, how you doing? And, you know, we're praying for you. But I don't know if but a couple people came up to my wife and said anything. And she was the one doing the work. I mean, I'm just sick. You know, she was the one, you know, having to get out of character and do things. I mean, I had 4 big holes in my leg. And the first time that nurse came to the house and changed that packing, I kind of looked back at my wife, and my wife turned like a pale green. And I knew at that point that was something that she was going to have a hard time doing. But praise God, she got out of her character, and she did what she had to do. And I thank God for that. And so sometimes it's not a matter of praying for the person that's sick. You got to remember that caregiver in prayer too. You got to remember to lift them up in prayer, because they're dealing with some heavy stuff too. And it's very easy to focus on the person who's sick. And then number seven, pray for all who will be participating in their healing process. And pray for the doctors that they would have the knowledge to diagnose the illness and prescribe the right treatment. Any counselors that they might have, if it's an emotional situation that they're dealing with. Nurses, technicians, pastors, relatives, and friends. Everybody that's going to participate in the healing process. You know that sometimes it might be hard for a person to get healed or for the healing process to work in a person's life the way that it needs to if they're dealing with a whole bunch of knuckleheads in their house. You know, here you going home and you trying to heal up and you dealing with all kind of knuckleheads at home. You saying, man, I might as well go back to the hospital. At least I got some peace of mind there. So, you know, you guys, that's why you got to pray. That's why I'm saying this is a powerful prayer. You got to pray for everybody that's going to participate in the healing process of this individual. So this morning we are looking at how to pray for those who are sick. And I know here again we spend a lot of time teaching, and I hope that this has been beneficial to you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Search for Power Blockage. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, How to Pray for Those Who Are Ill, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Pray for Those Who Are Ill. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Pray for Those Who Are Ill. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.